This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Christine James, joined by reporter Tom Gorman, asking questions. This election race is for the 12th Plymouth District. We have both candidates here in studio tonight. We've got the incumbent Democrat, Kathy Lenatra, and Republican Eric Moschino in studio to answer questions. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
And Tommy Wall is our own Charlie Fulmer, and we're joined by media partner, Local Scene, PAC-TV. Now, our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready. No longer than 2 minutes for the open and a 1 minute close, please. And we have a round of questions from the reporters with answers limited to a minute. And when we say a minute, we are timing. Our own Charlie Fulmer is there timing. He's got the cards up. Green is go. Yellow is 10 seconds. Red means stop. If you're still talking on the red, it's a slow five countdown. If you're still talking, you get the bell. If you're talking after that, we cut your mics. Then we have a lightning round. That's where the answers are either yes or no. And we really mean yes or no, not yes or no with a big explanation, monologue, soliloquy, or et cetera. Or one or two sentences tops. We'll tell you what we want. And always try to tell people, keep your answers to around a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. Now, we just chose opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie for the start. And it's going to begin with Eric, then go to Kathy. Just want to make sure that I had the district correct, because I was looking at my original notes. I think I had your old district before redistricting. So let's make sure this is correct. All of Kingston,
yes.
All of Plimpton.
Yes.
Plymouth precincts 1, 2, 3, 5, and 13?
Yes.
Okay. Middleborough precincts 1 and 5A, Halifax 1 and 2A, and Pembroke 3.
Yes.
Correct.
That's a lot to remember.
It is a lot.
It is a lot of numbers. So
a lot of towns to deal with.
It is a lot of towns. So let's start with our opening statements. We're going to begin with Eric Moschino. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. My name is Eric Moschino. I was born in Hull. I live in North Plymouth now. Commercial lobster fisherman, father of two amazing children. But the biggest thing is I'm a small business owner, right? And I understand the impact of inflation, overregulation on the businesses. And what I want to do is I want to be able to change the climate in this state from being a hostile climate for businesses to being more friendly. And, you know, I want everybody to follow the rules. I want everybody to follow the laws. One of the biggest items on everybody's agenda is illegal immigration. They're here illegally. I mean, the greatest example we got in the world right now, and it's an unfriendly gift, is what happened in North Carolina. Illegals are getting $10,000, a family of four, excuse me, would be getting about $10,000 a month per family, according to the Secretary of the Budget in Massachusetts. And our federal government only has the means to give the people of North Carolina a one-time check for $750. If you like the way things have been going on, keep voting the same people into office. If you want to change, look to some new people, some new faces, maybe some fresh ideas. I'm looking for your vote. That would be super. My name's Eric Moschino. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. That was Eric Moschino, the Republican candidate. Now the Democrat and incumbent, Kathy Lenatra. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you to WATD and the Local Scene for this opportunity. To my opponent, thank you for taking part, and to everyone who has tuned in tonight. I'm honored to be here as the state representative of the 12th Plymouth District. Having proudly served this district for 6 years with experience, dedication, and commitment to bipartisanship, I currently serve as the Vice Chair of Healthcare Finance and the Chair of the Coastal Caucus, and I also received a key appointment to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. I have worked tirelessly to ensure our district needs are met. In this session alone, I secured over $1.6 million in funding for critical areas such as public safety training, infrastructure improvements, water quality testing, health center expansion, and small business support. I also prioritized our veterans by delivering funds for Memorial and supported our seniors with improvements to local senior centers. For my dedicated work in education and mental health, I was recognized as Legislator of the Year by Mass Association of School Committees and by the Mass Mental Health Counselors Association. I played a key role in advocating against Holtec's permit to dump radioactive wastewater into Cape Cod Bay, protecting our environment and our coastal economy. I also supported the HEROES Act to assist veterans and the Affordable Homes Act to tackle our ongoing affordability issue. Each is an example of my bipartisan approach to addressing tough issues and ensuring that our community's voices are heard. Before being elected to this role, I spent years in public service. I understand how local government works, the challenges towns face, and that the people of Halifax, Kingston, Middleborough, Plymouth, Plimpton, and Pembroke expect results. I'm a seasoned leader who listens, acts, and delivers. My constituents know that I'm accessible and will leave no stone unturned to find resolutions and resources. I look forward to continuing this work, and I respectfully ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Kathy Lenotter. Now we're going to ask questions, being with Tom Gorman from WATD. Questions for the candidates.
Well, the migrant crisis has become a major issue, not only in the country, but right here in the South Shore. What do you think the state should do to address this?
Let's start with Eric.
First thing I think they should do is stop funding them. Simple as that. You know, people have a problem with illegal immigrants in this state, in our district. Kathy's fault. She voted for that. Her own words were, it's a humanitarian crisis. So what we got is a failure from the top down. The president's number one job, as articulated by the Constitution, is to protect the citizens and the sovereign borders of this country. Failure right there. And then Massachusetts literally supercharged this, not only enabled it, but put it on steroids with the right to shelter law and giving just ridiculous amounts of money to these people. They're not citizens. They don't belong here. They got to go.
Kathy Lenotra.
Yes. You know, I agree that we need comprehensive immigration reform. You know, that's known. That's a federal issue. We had a wonderful bipartisan bill that would have solved most of this issue, but it didn't pass. And there's reasons that that didn't pass. But just to be clear, the residents that are here now from Haiti, they're here on protective status. So they're not here illegally. That's just one thing I wanted to clear up. But yes, do we need to make reform? We've made reforms to the right to shelter law, and we will continue to make reforms to the right to shelter law. And again, that right to shelter law was put in the 1980s. It was already here when we had this immigration crisis. I think he's talking about the humanitarian crisis that we had when they first arrived, and that was over 2 years ago, when none of us ever expected any of this, and we had probably 35 families at that time from Haiti that arrived in Kingston at the Baymont Hotel. Oh, now I'm going to get yellow. I don't want to get the bell. But, you know, since that time, we've had students. We've had to fund with our students. We've made sure that we've gotten funding, and I'm going to get the bell.
You are. And
sorry.
Tom, you want to do a follow-up? Because I know this is, I would have to say, this issue and affordability are what we get the
Absolutely.
Most emails and phone calls about, asking for answers from people. And it basically comes out, yeah, it may have been a federal problem, but it's become a local problem. And I think a lot of people, from what we're hearing, are not happy that enough is being done. Kathy, what else needs to be done?
So we have made some reforms, like I've said. The administration has been down to the southern border and saying, look, we're full. We're done. There's a time limit that you can stay in shelter in EA. But, you know, the other issue is they're here. Do we want tent cities in our towns? No, we don't. We don't want women. And again, the right to shelter law is for pregnant women and families. This isn't for what you see on the news across the country. These are families that have come here. And what we're doing is pushing the federal government to get their working papers, because there's so many jobs that can be filled, and they are filling those jobs. I've seen plenty of people working at Market Basket, our pizza shops downtown. And once they can work, they can contribute back to our economy and get out of shelter.
A minute for you, Eric. What do you think? What else needs to be done?
We just need to stop them from coming in. You know, everybody talks about immigration reform. We have laws on the books about how people can migrate into this country. Those laws have been completely disregarded. The protected status thing, they flew these people from Haiti to the United States, some of them. I mean, when they first came in, nobody even knew where they were from. It was actually said, maybe there's some people from Massachusetts, whatever. But bottom line is, they don't belong here. If you give a family of four, think about this for all the listeners out there. How much does it cost to run your household for 1 month? A family of four illegals gets $10,000 a month. $10,000 for those four people, I'm thinking you could buy four first-class tickets back to wherever it is they came from, and then save us another $110,000 a year.
I know this is a really heated issue. I'm going to give you each another minute, and you can add whatever you want about the illegal situation, the migrants here.
Okay.
Kathy.
I don't know where you're getting that $10,000. They're not being given a check for $10,000. So I honestly don't know where you're getting that figure from, in that I'm asking where you're getting that figure from.
The Secretary of the Budget of the state of Massachusetts came out and said, on average, a family of four was getting about $10,000 a month. From the Haley administration.
Do you mean in services, in goods and services?
Total. You know, housing.
Housing, food, medical
food,
care.
Care, clothing, whatever.
Okay.
I just find that misleading, because it sounds like you're saying they're giving them a $10,000. And that's not the case. That is not the case. Shelter is no fun to be in. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to stress that we do need to make reforms. Right. I understand that. It's unsustainable. But we really need to stick with the facts.
Okay. Let me give you 30 seconds then. With this number that Eric has, what do you think is an accurate number, and how would that be broken down? Like, would be like food, this, housing, this, medical care. Do you have a rough idea of what that is?
I don't, but I don't believe it's $10,000.
Okay. Do you know how that number is broken down, Eric?
I don't know what the breakdown is either, but the person who said it is the Secretary of the Budget for the state of Massachusetts in the Haley administration.
Okay.
I'd say that individual is probably an expert on the subject.
Okay. Any other follow-up with the migrant question? All right, I'm just going to switch topics here real quickly. Your district, as we said earlier at the beginning of the newscast, I mean at the beginning of the forum, has so many different towns. You've got Kingston, Plymouth, parts of Middleborough, Halifax, Pembroke, and I should have said Plimpton. But so many different divergent political viewpoints in one district, more so, I think, than a lot of the other districts. How do you represent the interest of all the voters, or is that even possible? Let's start with you, Eric.
Well, you're not going to make everybody happy all the time. So, you know, you're going to get something wrong at some point, I suppose. But, you know, that's what the job is, to represent the constituents of the district. You know, for example, driver's licenses for illegals. In our district, the 12th Plymouth District, 57% of the people voted against that. 43% voted for it. That's a clear mandate from the people. Kathy voted for it. So 57 voted against it, 43 voted for it. So I don't think she represented our constituents in that. Now, if you have an issue where maybe it's a lot closer, you know, like 48-52 or something, yeah, I think there's a lot more wiggle room there, and I don't have a problem with that. But when you have something like that, it's a clear mandate from the people, you have to represent what the people want.
Okay. Kathy, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer what Eric said about voting against it, and then a minute to talk about how you represent the different viewpoints.
Sure. So what Eric's talking about is the Work and Family Mobility Act, and that took effect July 1st, 2023. This really, in my point of view, and speaking to the Mass Chiefs, and I do want to preface this by saying it did wind up being on the ballot, and it did pass. So it was a ballot initiative, and it did pass. Speaking to our law enforcement, we had people driving without licenses, and in order to get a license, you needed to show that you were a resident of Massachusetts. So what this did is you didn't have to prove that you were a resident, but you still needed documents to prove who you were. And they had to obtain a learner's permit. So they had to take the class, they had to get a learner's permit and go through all those channels of training before they got their license. They had to pass a road test. They had to have insurance. So many people know that my husband's in public safety, formerly of New York, now here in Kingston. I want to know who he's pulling over. He wants to know who he's pulling over. The streets have been safer with licensed drivers on the road.
Okay. Tom?
I have a minute for the other question,
right.
But can
right.
you repeat it, please? I'm sorry.
The district, your district has so many different political viewpoints represented, more so than a lot of the other districts. How do you represent the interests of all the voters, and is that even possible?
you have to be everywhere. It's six different towns, and you have to be everywhere, especially when you're campaigning, you're knocking on the doors. We've knocked on about 6,500 doors, so you're talking to all sorts of people. There's basic things that everybody agrees on. Everybody wants the best for their family. Everybody wants the best where they live, and they want to be able to thrive where they live. So, you know, those are your basic elements. But you listen to both sides of everything, and you make the best judgment you can for your district.
The MBTA Communities Zoning Act is affecting several South Shore communities. Do you think this is a good way to increase the availability of affordable housing?
Let's start with you, Kathy.
It affects every single town in the district, in the 12th Plymouth District. It was a Baker initiative, and it was passed in 2021. I think the premise of it was great, was that we all know we have a housing shortage. All down the road, affordable, middle, we have a housing shortage. And this was to bring more housing to the Commonwealth and near MBTA. I don't think that one shoe fits all. I think there's a lot of myths about what the MBTA communities actually is. Right now, it's just a zoning change that they're asking for. I've met with the town officials, and in Halifax, we are planning on having a forum just to lay out the facts, not to persuade anybody of anything, but to hear the facts. So when they vote on that at town meeting, they can vote with an educated decision.
Same question, Eric.
I think it's a terrible idea. I'm 100% against it. Everybody keeps talking about this housing shortage in Massachusetts. There's about a one-year supply of housing in the urban areas in this state alone. On top of that, add that we're losing about 1,100 people a week from this state, average income of $150,000 or more. Due to the policies in the state, the taxation, it's so hostile. I mean, we're losing people from the Patriots, from the Bruins, from the sports teams. They don't even want to come here because of the millionaires tax. So MBTA housing is bad. It's a heavy-handed state maneuver. I know Kathy's saying that people get to vote for it, but they're really pressing on these towns with people like Andrea Campbell coming in and saying, it's a law, you're either going to take it or we're going to sue you. Look what happened to Milton, and they won, right? We don't need high-density urban housing in towns like Halifax and Plimpton and Kingston. People didn't move to these towns like Plimpton's 1 acre per house.
Did you want to add something?
Did I want to add something to that?
Yes, I thought.
So I was looking into, this is just, I just learned this the other day. We were talking about the density. So the density is 15 units per acre. And if you look around Halifax and the ponds, that's more than 15 units around. So that's the density we're talking about. We're not talking about high rises. We can talk about single family homes. But again, it's up to the voters. I will support whatever my district decides, whatever each town decides. Again, not one shoe fits all.
Did you want to add something else? I know these are the hot button issues we hear about. 30 seconds.
You're going to support your constituents? What about driver's licenses for illegals? We didn't want that, and you didn't support us.
And you got it on the ballot, but there were many people that did want it.
Did you want to do a follow-up for that, MBTA?
Yeah. Now, what should be done to address the affordability issue?
Eric, affordability, what should be done?
What makes it unaffordable? Taxes. Everything keeps going up. Basically, you want to change affordability? Vote new people in. Because we keep having people come into the state house, they come up with these ideas, we got this great plan, we're going to help you out. But you got to tax the people first. The taxes go to the state builds an administration that takes some of that money. So now you already don't have the money you started with. And then they give that money back to you with strings attached. I think the people should decide what to do with their own money. I know if myself personally, I have a better understanding of where my money should go for me than the state or the federal government.
Same question, Kathy.
Sure. If we're going to talk affordability, we did a $1 billion package. This is the first tax cut legislation signed in over 20 years. So we did that this session. It extended the child two-dependent cap. We used to have a two-dependent cap on children, and it was $180 per dependent child. We've raised that to $440 with no caps. That significantly helps families, right? That helps some families. Senior Circuit Breaker, we doubled the credit from $1,200 to $2,400. That's helping our seniors. I mean, I could go on. The tax credit for Title V. I mean, we know how astronomically expensive that is. We raised that to $18,000. It used to be $4,000. So this session, we see that in the House. We see affordability is a major issue. We're out there talking to our constituents, and this is what we're seeing, and this is what we're doing. We're taking steps to make it better.
I guess the question, too, is what makes Massachusetts such an expensive place to live? Why are the taxes so high here?
Oh, sure. I don't think it's Massachusetts inclusive that taxes are high. I think it's everywhere. People expect in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts services. We have to pay our public safety. We have to pay our law enforcement officers. We have to pay our DPW. If you want to live in a nice town, this is what it costs.
Same question?
Again, it goes back to policy. It's all about policy. There's other states that have nowhere near the tax burden that we have. So the millionaire's tax, right, or whatever you want to call it, I don't know, it's an 80% increase on wealthy, the highest earners. So we're losing 1,100 people a week. Over the past 3 years, you know, you're talking like almost 160,000 people at $150,000 plus. That tax is not going to go away. That money is going to be still in the budget. The difference is now, people lower down the bracket are going to be absorbing these costs. We're driving out a huge amount of tax revenue from this state. Stop taxing the people. Let's get energy going again. Let's bring natural gas back into the state. Let's help bring down the energy costs, because everything derives from that. There's nothing we do in this state that doesn't utilize energy. As a fisherman, I buy an enormous amount of diesel fuel. When it goes from $1.70 to $3, that comes out of my pocket.
Now, let me ask you both a question, because you both have roots in the area and you both have established households and kids. If you were, let's say you had both gone to school here but didn't have family ties here, mm-hmm. and were graduated from school and probably, like a lot of kids now, have like a pretty substantial amount of debt and a starter home on the South Shore, if you can find one, what, $500,000-$600,000, would you still make the commitment to settle here? Eric?
It's a tough question for me. Since I was a little kid, all I've ever wanted to do was be a lobster fisherman. I did spend some time in financial services. There's no place else for me to go. This is the only state I can do it in. If I go to Maine, it's like a 10-year waiting period. New Hampshire's got about 20 feet of coastline, and to the south of us, it's really just not profitable. So that's a tough question for me, and I would probably still come here.
Okay.
And suffer through.
What about you, Kathy?
Not a tough question at all. Not a tough question. I feel privileged to live in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and I would definitely settle here.
Okay. Tom, questions?
All set.
Okay. All right. I'm just making a check here at the time, because I know we're going to take a quick break, but I think we're going to have to wait a minute or two. Now, here's something that happened today. The group that wants to repeal the state's new gun law said they have the votes to put it on the ballot in 2026. Do you support this, and do you support the governor's action with that emergency preamble to put the new law into place immediately instead of waiting until the 23rd of this month? Let's start with you, Kathy.
Sure. Most people know that I voted against the gun bill. Emergency preambles are done quite frequently, so it's not uncommon that the governor would call that. I do. If they want to put it on the ballot, absolutely.
Okay.
It's their right to do that.
What do you think, Eric? Do you support this?
I support putting it on the ballot. You know, the emergency preamble, whether they do it a lot or they don't. Where's the emergency? Where? Licensed gun owners are the single most law-abiding citizens in this country, or at least in the top percentile. Where's the emergency? It's nothing more than a gun grab. It's a direct infringement on our Second Amendment. Everybody that supports this, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. They've all violated their oath. I think they should all be booted out of office and never allowed to hold office again, because that is a prescribed punishment for violating your oath according to the Constitution. I think every single one of them should be removed.
You're listening to a political forum here. It's at 12th Plymouth District. We have State Rep. Kathy Lenatra in studio, along with her Republican challenger, Eric Moschino. We're going to be back right after this short break.
Brockton's sesquicentennial celebration continues with the Brockton Fall Festival on Saturday, October 12th at City Hall Plaza from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. This free, family-friendly event includes retail and nonprofit vendors, children's activities, entertainment, food, fun, and live music with Keanu Trinidad, Vicki Lynch, and Renee Ann Band. Hope to see you on Saturday, October 12th at City Hall Plaza as we celebrate the community spirit of Brockton at the Brockton Fall Festival.
Something wickedly good is happening in Plymouth October 19th. Join us at Memorial Hall for the Jeff Cohen Charitable Foundation's 28th annual Halloween benefit, a night of fun, fright, and fundraising all to support cancer patients in need. Enjoy live music, dancing, delicious treats, and a thrilling silent auction. Don't forget, the best costume of the night wins a $1,000 cash prize. Tickets are on sale now, but hurry, they're limited. Want to make an even bigger impact? We're seeking generous sponsors and auction items. Your support can change lives. Visit the jccfoundation.org to grab your tickets, become a sponsor, or donate an auction item today. Let's make this Halloween a night to remember together. See you there if you dare.
Join us for Duxbury Beach Reservation's first official Dog Day at Duxbury Beach on Saturday, October 12th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Bring your pups to the resident lot for treats from JB's Doggy Ice Cream Truck and the Sandy Dog Pet Boutique. There will be photo sessions by Kyle Walker Photography and a demonstration from Duxbury Canine Cirque. Follow us on Instagram at Duxbury Beach Reservation for new updates.
It's that time of year again for witches, goblins, and all manner of spirits. Come join the Scituate Historical Society for their Harbor Haunts event, creative storytelling of New England ghost stories and legends inspired by Edward Rose Snow and others. Shows are at 7:30 p.m. Friday, October 25th and Saturday, October 26th at the Grand Army Hall, 353 Country Way in Scituate. For ticket and show information, go to scituatehistoricalsociety.com. It will be a bone-chilling time you won't want to miss.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
That's right. We are back here in Studio B. We're resuming our political forum for the 12th Plymouth District with Kathy Lenantra and Eric Moschino. Now, right before we went to the break, it was Tom Gorman's turn to ask the candidates a question. Where do you want to go with that?
One of the ballot questions this fall was about the elimination of the MCAS as a high school graduation requirement. What are your thoughts about that?
Let's start with Eric.
I don't think we should eliminate it. I don't like it. I don't like that teachers actually have to teach to that test. But we need some kind of standards. I mean, you know, we're just going to let the kids run around, do whatever they want. I mean, we need to get back to just, like, teaching these kids. We used to have the best school system literally in the world. And now we're like, what, in the 30s, the 40s? We're way down in the numbers because we have all these crazy DEI things, people wasting time with this stuff, these perishable topics, when we should be having our kids focus on reading, writing, arithmetic, real history, you know, economics. Let's teach our kids how to make a budget so they can run a household and not get into overwhelming credit card debt by the time they're 25. You know, let's get back to real school.
Same question, Kathy.
Yes, I do think we should eliminate it as a requirement to graduate. So it's not eliminating the MCAS altogether. We'll still have the MCAS test, so we'll have a barometer of how we're doing. And, you know, my friend John Creed, who you know too, I spoke to him about this because he was on a school committee and he's very involved in schools. And he brought up VOTECs to me, vocational schools. And it's really not fair to our vocational schools because half of their curriculum is dealing with their trade and the other half is classes. But they're not tested on the trade. Not all students learn the same way. Teachers, they have to teach to a test the same way. Eliminating that, they can really focus on their students and teach what they would like. And what's going to make them successful, right? Does the MCAS guarantee success after high school? I don't think so. But if we teach life learning things, like budgeting, that's a big one. Budgeting, like we had checkbooks when I was in school.
Yes. Out of curiosity, because I don't know this number, if anybody knows off the top of their head, I know they say if you don't pass your MCAS, you don't graduate, you don't get your diploma. Do you know what the percentage is of kids that don't pass?
Yeah, it's 7%.
Oh, it's that high?
It is.
Okay.
And I will say, what also with the MCAS question too, I did have a student last year that had taken it three times and had not passed, and he wound up dropping out of school. And to me, that really hit hard. You know, this was a great kid, and it defeated him.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the number. I didn't know the number was that high. I'm going to switch topics again, and let's talk about national politics. How much do you think that national politics influences local politics and discussions, Kathy?
I think a lot of people intertwine the two, state government and federal government, and they don't distinguish the two. I will get a lot of emails that will ask me to vote on a bill, but it's a congressional bill, or something that I have no control of that's federal. So I do think that they get mixed in the bunch. But one thing I will say about Massachusetts and at the State House, in the legislature, in the Senate, as well as in the House, is it's not like the federal government. We actually all get along. We may not vote the same way. We may debate. We may disagree on many things, but we all want the best for our district. I share towns with other representatives that are Republicans, and I'm a Democrat, and we come together for our town that we represent. But at the end of the day, we try to come to consensus. If we don't, we vote the way that we need to vote, but we still get coffee the next day.
Same question, Eric.
I think a lot of people get, like Kathy said, they get the two intertwined. And you really have to struggle to keep it separate. I mean, you know, the national media is just drilling us every day with all this propaganda. And it's literally what you see on TV almost every day, unless you actively try to avoid it. But people are also fired up because they know in an election like this, we have two choices now. We have Donald Trump and we have Kamala Harris. And the side that says they want to save democracy, the Democrat side, they installed this candidate. No one voted for her to be the candidate. No one. Not a single voter. She got delegates voting after they kicked Joe Biden out. How does that save our democracy? And people feel that all the way down to like their backyard, grassroots level. People want integrity. They want honor. They want honesty and they want transparency.
Did you want to do any follow-up with this? Go ahead.
Some communities have been complaining in recent years about the state aid formula. They say it's unfair. What do you think about that?
Eric, state aid.
I'm not familiar with the state aid formula. I cannot answer that question.
Kathy?
I've heard this before, many times before, but like everything has to be looked at over a period of time and studied and made like reforming. So we'll look at it again this session and see if we need to change it, especially the school formula. The school formula voted on this session was one of the great things that we did, is some of our schools are declining for membership and the way that it's set up is not helping those schools. So now per student, where it used to be, I think it was $37, we've raised that to $104. So that will significantly affect, in a positive way, our schools that have declining enrollment.
In Plymouth, there's been a movement to issue a statement before meetings acknowledging that Native Americans were here first. What do you think about that, Kathy?
That's the first I've heard of it, Christine. Can you just tell me that one more time?
In the town of Plymouth, there's been a movement among some of the local committees to issue a statement before meetings acknowledging that the Native Americans, I guess specifically the Wampanoags, were here first.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's a great tribute to them. I really do. I visit the Pilgrim Hall Museum, one of the jewels of Plymouth that a lot of people are not familiar with, and there's a whole exhibit to that. And since I've been a state rep, I've learned so much about the history. So I think that's wonderful.
Eric, what do you think about that?
I think it's fine. But it seems kind of ironic that they want to take the Indian off the Washington Redskins helmet and change the name of the team. You know, they took Aunt Jemima off the syrup, and that was a business she started. We got the Indian off, or I'm sorry, the Native American off the Land O'Lakes butter. They're removing all of this stuff. So why now are we going to put them first? But yeah, we all know they were here, but, you know, I'm sorry, it's like 1620 to 2024. We're talking like 400 years now. Yeah, they were here first, and there was somebody here before them. I don't really see any problem with it, but I think it's the thinking so convoluted. You know, we're taking them off of one side and putting them on the other side. Where's the sense in this?
Questions for the candidates, Tom?
What are your thoughts about what's going on to the Pilgrim nuclear plant cleanup? As you know, Holtec is appealing the DEP's decision not to allow them to dump water, the radioactive water, back into the bay.
Eric?
They shouldn't be allowed to dump anything in the bay. You know, the fact is that business, that company, has the money to dispose of that in a manner that would not affect our community. Them trying to dump that water into the bay is so they can get fat bonus checks. It is absolutely the most worst, vile, insidious form of greed out there. Some people say greed is good. You know, look at Henry Ford and what he did with the Model T. That was all driven by greed. That was, in my opinion, some good greed. But beyond that, it is an absolute disaster. You know, it's a perception issue. You dump that waste into our water, and you're going to lose our coastal economy, potentially. Lobster, oysters in Duxbury Bay, all the charter fishing, all the beachgoers. You're going to destroy it, destroy our economy, so some highfalutin sociopaths can get a huge bonus check.
Kathy, your thoughts on the same issue?
Yes. So they're fighting the DEP. They requested for MassDEP to dump, and MassDEP said no, and they're fighting that. Is that right? No. Holtec took over in 2019, and what they're using to decommission is the decommissioning trust fund. And what is left over from that fund, after they decommission, they get to keep as profit. So in my opinion, they're trying to do this quickly and as cheaply as possible. And people, we have a watchdog, the NTCAP was formed from this. It's like a citizen watchdog, and they keep their eye on that. If anybody knows the Lamperts, I get at least 15 emails a week who keep me up to date. And they are the ones, when I first started running, that got me up to speed on the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant. And then in 2019, Holtec took over as soon as I was elected.
You both kind of answered my follow-up question to this, but if you want to answer it, you can. 30 seconds. Do you trust the intentions of Holtec?
I do not. I do not trust the intentions of Holtec. We did have a meeting in Plymouth, and Senator Markey came, and the CEO of Holtec was on a screen, and just the minute he came on, the hair on my arm stood up. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the truth.
That's a great description. Eric, do you trust the intentions of Holtec?
No.
Okay.
Categorically, across the board, no. These guys put heaters in the coolant water pool that's irradiated, which would effectively heat up the water and help it evaporate. And they said they did this to make it warmer and more comfortable for the employees who are working there. Now, don't you think it would be a better idea to put the heaters above the water and heat up the air? They lied. They put the heaters in the pool to help evaporate the water. They are untrustworthy.
Let me ask you another follow-up question on this, because it's a big parcel. What is it? 1,500 acres, I think, roughly, the whole Pilgrim property. Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward a number of years. It's clean enough to be, hopefully clean enough to be reused. What do you think they should do with it, Kathy?
Well, Plymouth has the right of first refusal if they want to purchase that and do what they would like with it. I mean, there's so many things. You could keep it open space. You could put some economic development. You could put housing. There's so many things. When that does happen, I would hope that Plymouth would take up that opportunity to purchase it and see what's best for their town. I'm sure they will need a study commission, because everybody needs a study commission to see what would best for that the town
same,
of Plymouth.
Same question, Eric. What do you think they should do with that? That's a big hunk of property.
Yeah, no, I agree primarily with what Kathy says, but you know, I'd really like to see them do with that piece of property. That was designed to accommodate more than one reactor. Let's put another nuclear power plant up there. Get rid of these offshore windmills that are a complete disaster. And they, you know, just to beat up on offshore wind. Doesn't matter how much capacity you put in the ocean with these foolish wind turbines that are already falling down. You still need 100% baseload backup 100% of the time, because they just don't work. So I would like to see a nuclear power plant go back in there. It is the most green, because everybody's talking about going green, it's the most green energy source we have.
Okay. You're listening to a WATD Political Forum. It's the 12th Plymouth District. We've got Kathy Lenatra and Eric Moschino here in studio. We'll be back right after this.
My name is Envoy Anrich, and I would like to invite you to a free health and wellness fair at the Salvation Army Corps and Community Center. We are partnering with the Plymouth Lions Club for this wonderful health and wellness fair event. It will be held on Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and our location is 52 Long Pond Road in Plymouth. For more information, go to saarmyma.org/Plymouth. I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Kelly with Veterinary Chaplaincy Services. Our mission is to support people after pet loss. If you're looking for support after losing your special companion, please visit our website at veterinarychaplaincy.com or call or text our new warm line at 833-4-VET-CHAP. That's 833-483-8247. 833-483-8247.
Can't get enough of everything pumpkin this fall? Have you been looking high and low for the perfect pumpkin to decorate your home? Look no further. Head on over to UCC Norwell's annual Pumpkin Patch Fundraiser. We've got a gorgeous selection of pumpkins and gourds awaiting you. We're open every day in October at 460 Main Street in Norwell. For more information, visit uccnorwell.org.
Looking for a great time for a great cause? Join Cardinal Cushing Centers and the exceptional people with disabilities that they support at their free Fun Run and Harvest Fest on Saturday, October 26th. First, register now at cushingfunrun.org and follow the easy prompts to ask your friends and family to sponsor you. Then arrive at 10 a.m. on October 26th for the pre-race party, followed by the one-mile event. Bring everyone, adults, kids, dogs, strollers, wheelchairs. What a great opportunity to teach about inclusion. Halloween costumes are encouraged. Again, register and start fundraising now at CushingFunRun.org. That's CushingFunRun.org.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
That's right, we are back here in Studio B, and I'm your moderator, Christine James, with the 12th Plymouth District Forum with both candidates here in studio. Right before we went to the break, Kathy Lenatra and Eric Moschino. NIPS, a fun word to say, a real pain to clean up. Several communities have instituted NIP bans. Others have tried to do so and failed. What's the solution, Kathy?
I don't know what the solution is. So if you ban NIPS, then you're hurting the liquor stores, the small businesses, right? So what if we do a return like we do on cans and make it high? Would that stop them from littering? You know, I am a runner. I see it all over the streets. So I think it's a no-win situation. If you ban it in one town, they're just going to go to the next town, right? And it would have to be in my opinion, it would have to be a statewide ban.
Okay. How do you feel about NIPS, Eric?
I agree with Kathy. I mean, one of my biggest supporters, they were a huge part of the NIP ban in Plymouth. But, you know, that takes away people's choice. And I'm freedom of choice, you know. I want the small businesses to thrive. And like she said, it will impact the small businesses. So we got to come up with a different solution, in my opinion, and similar to what Kathy said, put a return on it. Well, like the people walking down the street, homeless people could pick those things up and have a couple hundred of them, you know, probably spend it on more NIPS, I guess, but I hope they're not listening to this. I think she's right.
This is just a small bottle. It's not a NIP. It's in its water. Tom Gorman, question for the candidates.
Well, you both touched upon small businesses. What can the state do to help small businesses?
Eric?
Stop regulating us to death, for starters. As a commercial fisherman, the state has come in recently, and really there's no scientific evidence to support what they've done. But they stopped me from working from February 1st to May 16th. There's no real science to back that up. Stop regulating us. Get the hell out of my back pocket. Get out of my way. Let me do my job. As long as we're not hurting other people, and we're not, let us do our jobs. That's all. It's simple.
Kathy?
Small businesses, you know, they're the backbone to our society. especially here in the 12th Plymouth. We have downtown Plymouth, which is filled with small businesses. I attend the Downtown Waterfront Committee all the time to hear their ideas. I was able to put an earmark into the budget to help them with outdoor dining and after COVID, some relief. I sat with them at their kitchen tables during COVID to make sure that they got the funds that were available to them in the loans. We have, with the tax cut legislation that we passed, put some things in there that will help small businesses. There's a lot of things that we can still do, and I plan on still doing when I'm reelected.
Okay. What about the ballot questions? A lot of people this time around are as interested in the ballot questions as they are in the candidates. I think ballot question number one is giving the state auditor the authority or right to audit the legislature. Do you agree with that, Kathy?
I don't think it should be the state auditor if they're going to audit the legislature. I think it should be an independent auditor, not a Republican and not a Democrat. You know, transparency is very important. Everybody wants transparency. You can see how we've voted. We do have committee hearings, and now what we have done is you can Zoom in to testify at those hearings. Before, you had to come into Boston, and that's not easy for everyone. Transparency is very important, but I don't think the state auditor should do it. I think it should be an independent auditor.
So you're against ballot question number one?
Yes.
Okay. How do you feel about ballot question number one?
The state auditor was elected to audit. I think they should open up the books, and, you know, I think part of the problem is our state legislature kind of forgot that they actually work for the people. It's the least transparent state house in the country. Kathy votes against this stuff a bunch, not all the time, but she's voted against a lot of transparency issues. Why? What are they hiding? Why can't we audit them? They work for us. That's not their money. That's your money. That's my money. I want to know what's going on. Of course our state auditor should be able to go in and audit the legislature.
Kathy, I'll give you 30 seconds. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be audited. I just think it should be independent. The auditor that we have in office right now, wonderful person, but she has also been in the House and been in the Senate, and I just think there could be a little controversy there. I think it would be very cut and dry if we had an independent auditor.
May I?
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. An audit is about numbers. And you have an elected Democrat state auditor with a wildly Democrat legislative body and Senate body. I mean, there's like, what, 171 reps that are Democrats, and I think 36 reps that are senators. I'm sorry, 36 senators that are Democrats. If you're going to have somebody audit all these Democrats, wouldn't it be better to have a Democrat? And it really isn't about that anyways. It's about numbers. Let's see the books.
There's 160 legislators.
160?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mostly Democrat. Wildly.
The district has a seasonal worker issue. How to make it better, and is it even possible? Eric?
You know, I don't know how to make it better. I don't. But I know I spent a lot of time down at Cape Cod, and there used to be an influx of Irish folks down there that would come in and work in all the seasonal jobs down in like Hyannis and such. So, you know, there's got to be some kind of programs, you know, to entice people to come over here. But if you're going to draw people like that in, it's got to be worth their while. Can they make money in Massachusetts? Is it worth their while because it's so expensive here? We gotta reduce the cost to live here. This is like amongst the top 3 or 4 states in the country in terms of expense.
Same question, Kathy?
Yes. One of the main reasons we can't retain summer help or seasonal help is housing, right? Rents. In the Affordable Homes Act, which we passed this session too, there's a provision for seasonal workers. It's seasonal communities, so that includes the Cape and includes Plymouth for housing for our seasonal employees. And I think that's a big component. I think a lot of people do want to come here from across the country for the summer and experience what the Commonwealth has to offer.
Okay. Tom?
There's a movement lately to have tip workers such as restaurant servers be paid a minimum wage. What are your thoughts about that?
Kathy?
Sure. I'm an absolute no on question five. So that's question five. I'm an absolute no on that. When I first knew it was going to be on the ballot, I spoke to all the servers that I know. I frequent some of the wonderful restaurants that we have in downtown Plymouth and in Kingston, and spoke directly to them, and they were against it. Some of them can, you know, if they work really hard, they can make over $50 an hour, and now we're going to reduce them to minimum wage. Also, after that, I spoke to some of the small business owners, small restaurant owners. Now their prices are going to go up. Now a family of four that wants to go out to dinner, the prices are going to be higher, and they're not going to be able to do that. So now we have less people going to our small restaurants. So I'm a no.
Let's move on to our lightning round now, and this is. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Come on, Christine, you forgot about me.
I'm
with Kathy. She nailed that one. I'm absolutely a no, but I think it also highlights. Let's get the state to stop jumping into every facet of our life. They don't need to change us. They're literally looking to find two more cents out of somebody's dollar. How about instead of that, let's look to stop wasting tax dollars on crazy projects like this offshore wind thing that is never going to work. And, you know, illegals, let's stop giving them our money and let our tip earners keep theirs.
Now we'll go to the lightning round. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I get so caught up in what you're saying, sometimes I forget where we are in our programming. You know the first question I'm going to ask you, Plymouth County government, stay or go, Kathy?
Stay.
Okay. Tom, any lightning round questions? Okay. What's the biggest issue you're running on? Two sentences, Kathy.
Affordability.
Okay.
Housing.
Okay. Eric, what's two sentences? What's the biggest issue you're running on?
Immigration and affordability.
Okay. What's the last book you read, Kathy?
Oh, boy. The current book that I'm reading right now is The Astors.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
What book are you reading, Eric?
The Chesapeake by James Michener.
Okay. And in honor to our own Charles Mathewson, your favorite bad habit, Eric? Has to be real.
Bourbon.
Okay. Kathy?
My favorite, I love to read, but the problem is when I start reading, when I go to bed, it's 3 o'clock in the morning before I blink. Yeah.
Okay.
I get very engrossed.
Okay.
I hear nothing else.
Lightning.
Oh, sorry.
What brings you joy?
Golf.
Okay. What brings you joy?
My children's success and awesome sunrises on my lobster boat.
Are you a good cook?
Terrible.
Okay. I was going to say, what's your best dish?
Lobsters.
Okay. Are you a good cook?
I am, yes.
Okay, what's your best dish?
Anything Italian.
Okay, there you go. She's going to be catering this when we're finished. But let's go to our closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order, and we're going to begin with, again, it's 1 minute for reverse, and Kathy, and then go to Eric.
Well, once again, I want to thank you to WATD and to PAC-TV and the local scene for giving listeners a chance to learn more about their choices on the ballot this year. And to all that tuned in, I'm honored to have served as state representative of the 12th Plymouth District for the past 6 years, and I'm proud of my record of my results. I am also pleased and proud to have built a positive, productive relationship with so many constituents, local leaders, advocacy organizations, public safety agencies, and small business owners throughout my tenure. I know how much time this job demands, and I remain committed to the responsibility as my first priority. I will continue to work across the aisle to tackle challenges, including affordability, climate change, and health care. And I will always stand up for reproductive rights. It has been the honor of my life to serve as your state rep, and I know I can continue to make a real difference for our district on Beacon Hill. I'm Kathy Lenatra, and I humbly ask for your vote before November 5th. And to learn more about me, please visit KathyLenatra.com. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Kathy Lenatra's closing statement. Closing statement, Eric Moschino.
So, you know, thank you for being here. It's great to have the format and the ability to speak to people. I'm thinking of an AC/DC song called The Highway to Hell. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The intentions of the left have us on the highway to hell in this state. You know, Kathy says she's a leader, and she accepted an award for being the health legislator of the year, and a lot of that revolved around isolation with kids during COVID, and it was the policies of the left that isolated the kids. She votes with the Speaker of the House almost 99% of the time, not with the people at Kingston. Kathy's for Cambridge, not for Kingston. It's the liberal ideologies that control that state house that she adheres to. She's got a couple votes where she walked away from that with the gun law. But, you know, if you want change, I can be a change agent. If you want the same thing you got now, vote for Kathy. So I ask for your vote. Let's change it.
Again, that was Eric Pasquino, his closing statement. Again, this is all going to be up online on WATD tomorrow. We're having a problem with our server, but it might be a day delayed. We want to remind people, get out and vote on November 5th. We want to also thank people here tonight from Local Scene, PAC TV, our timer. We've got Charlie Fulmer, engineer Larry Nelson, Tom Gorman sitting in with me. Get out and vote on November 5th. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9WATD.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Florida residents concerned about the impact of Hurricane Milton have been streaming out of the Tampa Bay region area ahead of the storm, which could make landfall as a Cat 3 early Tuesday morning. This woman who lives on Sanibel Island says,
I'm not going to sit in a shelter. I'm not going to sit in a hotel, motel. I think that's great if people found places to go and they wanted to evacuate and friends they can stay with. But this is where we want to stay.
Prepping for a hurricane doesn't just involve people. CBS's Matt Piper has checked in with an aquarium in Tampa.
The Florida Aquarium is right on the water in downtown Tampa, home to 20,000 animals. CEO Roger German says they've had to move some to higher ground.
Earlier today, our African penguins, we've got 9 African penguins, they are on the ground floor. So they took an opportunity to march, you know, up the, we're closed to the public today, so I get a chance to march up the ramps and go to their new enclosure.
He says the good news is the building is surrounded by 4 walls and all their exhibits are inside. Matt Piper, CBS News.
An Afghan national is arrested for allegedly plotting an Election Day terrorist attack. CBS's Rob Legary with more.
They allege that the defendant and his co-conspirator, who's not named in charging documents, sought to carry out an